Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. With Egypt in turmoil and the country heavily divided, the stability of the Middle East is yet again being thrown into question. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has called the Muslim Brotherhood's ouster the fall of political Islam and has tried to use the Brotherhood's failure in Egypt to bolster support for his regime. The rebels are left in a difficult position as their coalition against Assad includes the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood, and some have accused the Brotherhood there of monopolizing power in the rebel ranks. But the true picture of the rebels has been hard to come by, and as the Syrian conflict rages into its third year with over 100,000 dead, reporters are finding it difficult to obtain accurate information, and some media outlets don't seem to be trying very hard. Patrick Coburn is Middle East correspondent for The Independent. He's just returned from Syria, and he views almost all reports of that country with a skeptical eye. He argues that the one-sided reporting from the foreign media, driven by rebels, is ruling out serious negotiations and influencing Western policymakers in a negative way.
I've never known a conflict like this, that so much of the information is not just second-hand, but third or fourth-hand. So much of it comes from opposition activists who have an obvious and understandable bias. So I think that the picture that the outside world has is really disconnected from the reality there.
Now, is this just a function of poor reporting or more a function of the fact that in war, both sides will use propaganda to their advantage and, in fact, there isn't really a good news line into the Syrian government because they're so secretive? We only hear from one side.
Yeah, those are both elements that come into it. One could also say that they limit the access of journalists, of giving visas to journalists to cover the government side, and therefore you have a vacuum of information about something that everybody's interested in, and this vacuum tends to be filled with pretty suspect information. You know, I've sort of said to Syrian officials that really, you know, they may complain a lot about what is said about them, but the way to deal with this is have actual eyewitnesses there. And there isn't really, I mean, any replacement for eyewitnesses for reporting any facts, particularly during a war. So I think that overall the reporting, yeah, has been pretty bad.
All right. Well, you say that we have a perception, and we certainly do, that the rebel forces are white hats, Assad forces are black hats, and that sort of guides all the reporting. But what is it then about the Syrian conflict that we think we know, that you have seen, that has us under misapprehensions about what's really going on there?
Oh, I think a whole number of things. One, it's a genuine civil war. However it started with popular demonstrations at this stage, you have a core of support for the opposition and you have a core of support for the government. You have many Syrians who don't like both. You have many Syrians who don't much like the government, but really don't see that the opposition are putting forward any alternative government that they'd like to live under. So I think a supposition, which you get from government leaders, from Susan Rice, from David Cameron, and other international leaders, that there's a police state government on one side with a tiny group of fanatical supporters, on the other side a great popular movement supported by all Syrians, is just completely contrary to the facts. I think also a supposition until recently that Bashar al-Assad government was going to go down quite easily. On the contrary, I think that there's a stalemate, that this war could go on for a very long time. But could I go back to an earlier point about the way it's reported here from outside the country with secondhand sources? I mean, it's rather as if, you know, British reporters like me had tried to report the last American presidential election based on in Canada and occasionally going into the United States with maybe members of the Republican Party, Tea Party, to be taken round on tours. And we just drew our sources from our information from one side, the Republican side, in the presidential election. That's really the analogy with what we're getting in Syria. You know, one would end up with a wholly ludicrous conception of what's happening in the United States, and one's getting a pretty skewed idea of what's happening in Syria.
Are we missing, then, Patrick Coburn, essential facts about who the rebel forces are? We've heard, of course, that it's a mixture of secular forces, Islamist forces, some affiliated with al-Qaeda, but not all. You say that people can sort of switch back and forth between those ideologies and that we don't really understand whose side we're on there.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, you see conferences. We just had a conference in Qatar of the so-called 11 friends of Syria, including the United States and Britain, Saudi Arabia, Qatar. And this, they're going to support the Free Syrian Army. But actually, inside Syria, the Free Syrian Army doesn't exist as an institution. There isn't a command and control system. You basically have fragmented brigades, maybe 1,000 of them, all spread all over Syria. So I think it's very sort of misleading to think there's one opposition military institution that we can give weapons and support to, and somehow that's going to win and replace the government. That just isn't the situation. And I don't think that reporting has really reflected or explained this.
Well, before we let you go, Patrick Coburn, Middle East correspondent for The Independent, is there a way out of this with the Assad regime relying on secrecy as they do, with the West having only a limited understanding of the many factions that comprise what we call the Free Syrian Army? Is there a way out of the information smog that we have other than, you know, the few reporters who go on the ground like yourself?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that would help if the Syrian government would let in more people. But I think that also that news organizations need to be much more careful than they've been of sieving first-hand unbiased information from third or fourth-hand extremely biased information. I think that people have been very credulous in just accepting what they're told from somebody outside Syria, from somebody inside Syria who's heard it from somebody else. This isn't really the way that news should work.
Patrick Coburn, Middle East correspondent for The Independent, says Western organizations, news organizations, are relying on second and third-hand information, but worse, that policymakers relying that information are making very limited and misguided decisions in Syria. Patrick Coburn with The Independent. Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.